Great. Well, thank you very much for coming and being a part of our carol service this evening. Now, I don't know what the highlights of Christmas are for you. Perhaps it's starting an Advent calendar, putting up the Christmas tree, Christmas dinner. Well, for some people over the years, more so in the past, I have to say, but for some people still today, it's been listening to the radio to find out what this year's Christmas number one is going to be. Anyone excited about that? Not too many. No hands went up. It's the Christmas number one. And Christmas number ones has been our theme for our Christmas talks here. And the battle for Christmas number one has been a thing since 1952, an annual event. That's a long time. And this year's winner will be announced on the 22nd of December. I'm sure you can't wait to find out who the winner's going to be. Now, I don't know if you have a favourite Christmas number one throughout the years. Perhaps it's one of the Band-Aid singles, one of the charity choirs by Gareth Malone, maybe something by Slade, Whitney Houston, perhaps. Any Beatles fans? The Beatles? Or even Mr. Blobby had a hit single that was Christmas number one. This morning at our nativity service, we went right back to the year 2000 when I was growing up, and we had Bob the Builder, Can We Fix It? And this evening, we're going even further. We're going back to 1958 with American country singer Conway Twitty. And he sings about unrequited love in his song, It's Only Make Believe. Let's have a little look.
But myself I can't deceive, I know it's only make believe. My one and only prayer is that someday you'll care. My hopes, my dreams come true. My one and only you.
Any of you recognize that? Yeah. Oh, quite a few hands have gone up. Great. Well, you know that alternative sandwich spread that you can get in the shops? I can't believe it's not butter. When I listen to that, I can't believe it's not Elvis. If you close your eyes, it's very similar, isn't it? Well, apparently, Conway Twitty, great name, by the way, was singing about a time he fell hopelessly in love with someone who didn't feel the same way. He believed that if she only knew how much he loved her, that everything would be different. But he comes to realize that actually it's all in his mind. It's only make-believe. Conway wants that relationship to be a real thing. But actually he comes to realize that it's just a fantasy. Well, friends, when it comes to the original Christmas story of Jesus being born of Mary in Bethlehem, is it only make believe? Is it just a nice fantasy story that we can keep on the bookshelf alongside other myths and legends and maybe bring out once a year for Christmas as we sing our Christmas carols? Well, I'd like to suggest this evening that the Bible doesn't present us with that option, because the way it's written, it actually makes a truth claim about Christmas, about Christ coming to earth. Now, when I say a truth claim, I don't mean, is it true for you or is it true for me? Does it kind of resonate as some kind of metaphor? But actually, the claim is really an historical claim that this really happened as a true event a little over 2,000 years ago. Well, the thing about miraculous events, when we think about them, is that many people say that they don't happen. And that's exactly the point. They don't normally happen. And so when something out of the ordinary like this is claimed, such as God coming to earth at that first Christmas, then we really ought to sit up and take notice and examine the evidence. I'd suggest that actually, I don't know what you're looking forward to about Christmas. Perhaps it's your Christmas dinner. And if you enjoy your Christmas turkey or your vegan alternative, then perhaps as you enjoy that food, as you enjoy time with family, as you enjoy music and fun, perhaps these things point to the fact that there is true meaning and purpose in life. If your heart is moved by injustice when you turn on the TV news and you see pictures of the wars that are going on at the moment, that reaction within us points to meaning and purpose in life, that we have a real conscience and a sense of right and wrong. Well, when we see God-given gifts and we see purpose and we see that sense of morality, then it's no great stretch to believe that the Creator of all things miraculously intervened in human history at a specific point in time, that very first Christmas. So I'd like us to first consider a real testimony. And we're wondering, is it only make-believe this evening? A real testimony. Have you ever watched law courts on TV? You know, you can go on a channel and you can watch live law courts. Maybe you've even attended a court case yourself in person. And different witnesses take the stand, don't they? And as they take the stand, they'll be asked to declare that the evidence they will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And in the reading that Bill brought us earlier from 1 John, he was one of Jesus' closest followers. And he's telling us in this letter his testimony. And he says this, that which was from the beginning, as in before time began, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched. Do you see all the senses there? This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Now in John's gospel, Jesus is described as the word of God. And here in this letter, he describes him as the word again, but this time as the word of life. And he means, what he's saying is, Jesus is God, that he made the universe, and in him is everlasting life. Now that wouldn't look bad on a CV on LinkedIn, would it? Jesus made the universe, and that in him is everlasting life. John really wants to get this across to us because it's important news, it's wonderful news. But he's not telling us street gossip or kind of passed down tradition, but he's telling us eyewitness testimony. He's saying, I was there and so were lots of other people. And they saw him and testify to the reality of Jesus being the Son of God. I don't know if you've ever looked into the evidence and seen what's been written about the first Christmas story and just seen the accounts and then looked into the history of it. There's so much more evidence than perhaps you might realize when we look at Christmas. And did you know that a number of these folk who testified to Jesus being God suffered, and many were killed as a result of their testimony for their faith? And people simply aren't willing to do that just for something that's make-believe, a made-up fairy tale. Well, John gives us a real testimony. Secondly, we see a real appearance. The life appeared, John says. We've seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. That's another way of saying Jesus appeared. We proclaim to you Jesus, who was with the Father in heaven and has appeared to us on earth. Now, there's been talk in the news recently about celebrities and their appearance fees for programs such as I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. The talk has revolved around the suggestion that some of the celebs have perhaps been doing the minimum required in order to get their paycheck and leave the program early and happy days. Well, the thing about the appearance of Jesus Christ on earth is that he didn't just appear briefly. His appearance wasn't like those UFO sightings where if you blink, you'll miss it. You know, in those videos, I wonder, have you noticed how the footage is always dodgy when you look at it? You think that's interesting? No, Jesus, the babe in the manger, grew up and he lived 33 years on this earth. And that was plenty of time for people to interact with him, get to know him, question him, and get to know who he really was. God's real appearance on earth wasn't him merely pretending to be a man, but actually him becoming like us, God made flesh. And the consequence of that is he knows, God knows what it is to feel pain, what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to cry, to know hurt. He knows what it is to be human. And so if you are going through a difficult time this Christmas, because Christmas isn't always an easy time of the year, know that God knows about that and that he really cares about you and your situation, because he's already gone through what it means to be human. The other thing is that the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be served. Though he was a king, he didn't come and expect people to wait on him. But he actually came to serve, to lay down his life for us. He came as king, but as a humble king. He came to this earth in love to not only show us the way to God, but to make clear the way to God for each of us. At Christmas time, people can do some amazing things, can't they? Amazing acts of kindness for others, whether that's for the poor or the homeless, whether it's helping a neighbor in need. The last five Christmas number ones, does anyone know who's won the last five, a record, five in a row, Christmas number ones? Don't be afraid to shout out. Do you know, Kian? Begins with an L and ends in baby. Lad Baby, yes, Lad Baby. Believe got famous through YouTube, is that right? Lad Baby. Lad Baby, funny name, has raised over £1.3 million for the Trussell Trust food banks. And we can all applaud that good work, can't we? That's fantastic. But there's a problem when it comes to us, and we think about doing good for others, and it can make us feel better, and it's the right thing to do. But the problem is, if we think that we can kind of earn brownie points with God by doing good stuff and kind of twist his arm to get his favor, and then when we come to meet him, that we can kind of twist his arm to get into heaven. Because some people think, well, when I die, God's just going to kind of weigh the scales. Have I done more good things than bad things? Am I going to kind of make it in the end? Will I be all right? And the Bible says that the reality is, and we have to understand the bad news first so we can really appreciate the wonderful news of Christmas. The Bible says that the spiritual reality is that we're kind of stood at the bottom of a spiritual Mount Everest looking up. Can you imagine that, being stood at the bottom of Mount Everest? Such is God's holy standard. We look up. We can't reach it. And if we're able to kind of clear through the tinsel this Christmas, then we see what the central message is. And the central message is the fact that we couldn't reach God, but he came down to us. We couldn't reach God by doing good things. He came down to reach us. And that's the wonderful news of Christmas. There's so many things to celebrate, isn't there? But a central thing is that in love, Jesus came down to live the perfect life on earth that we couldn't live. We've just sung about that in the carols. And to die the death that we deserved, bridging that gap, that chasm between us and God. And that's why, as we celebrate Christmas, we also think about Easter. Because as I mentioned before, Jesus didn't stay as a baby. He grew up, did wonderful things, but then willingly went to the cross to die, taking the blame for all of our wrongdoing, all of our sin, and the things that separate us from God. And this, I don't know if you've thought about it before, but this is a unique claim amongst religions and philosophies. God stooping down low so that we might be lifted up and raised up to new life in him. So I'd like to encourage you this evening to think about this, that God being with us here on earth isn't mere wishful thinking. His appearance was real, and the eternal God made a movement to become accessible to humanity in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to our final point this evening, which is a real invitation, a real invitation. In Conway Twitty's song, he was really looking for somebody to love him. And if we're honest, a kind of spiritual longing, a desire to be loved and known, is in all of us. I believe God placed that in us. The Bible says God has set eternity in the heart of humankind, that we have a longing for more than just this life and all that it has to offer. And John writes, "We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The word fellowship is talking about sharing in something, in community. And it means that if Jesus Christ really has come to this earth, if Christmas is true, if he really has died for our sins, then we can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, this invitation is for absolutely everyone to come to know God personally. And it's a real relationship that many here this evening can testify to, which brings real purpose in life and real hope beyond death. We'd love to talk to you more about that if you're interested to find out more about the Christian faith and if you have questions. And there's some John's Gospels, which are free to take away, just on the table at the back, if you'd like to read some of the evidence for yourself. There's booklets and different things as well. But as we come to a conclusion, Jesus has come. We have a real testimony, a real appearance, and a real invitation. Because he invites us, he invites each one of us, whether we're religious or not, to put our trust in Christ and what he's done for us. It's an invitation to be received by faith. And the question is, will we accept? Well, thank you very much for listening. Our final carol of the evening is a carol that helps us to think about the joy that it is that the Saviour of the world has come. Please stand as we sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."